Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we are in our third week of our sermon series, Through the Divine Service. 2 weeks ago, Pastor taught us about the invocation and how much content is packed into those brief 15 words that he says to us. We talked about what the Amen also meant in response to the invocation. Last week I preached about confession and absolution, the continuing dialogue between us and God, the call and response. The dialogue where we confess the things that we have done wrong, and the dialogue where the pastor forgives all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The dialogue that makes us right with God. Today we are going to talk about the next section of worship, the Kyrie and the hymn of praise. We have invoked the name of God, confessed our sin, and been absolved of our sins. Next is the Kyrie. What does this Kyrie mean for us as God's forgiven people? The term Kyrie refers to the Kyrie eleison. Kyrie comes from the Greek word for Lord, and eleison comes from the Greek as well, and is the word for mercy. When Jesus encounters a Canaanite woman in Matthew chapter 15, she says, "Eleison me, Kyrie," literally, "Have mercy on me, Lord." The Canaanite woman is pleading on behalf of her daughter, who was severely oppressed by a demon. She put her faith in this man named Jesus, that he would have mercy on her. This woman's world was turned upside down, and her family had something happening to it. She went to the only person that she knew, the only person that she could think of, this man named Jesus, who she had heard so much about. She pleaded for mercy, and the Lord heard her cry and cared for her. Can we relate? Do we ever have a family member or a friend going through tough times in life? The family member coping with an illness. Lord, have mercy. When we think about the wars that rage overseas, Lord, have mercy. The relationships that are broken because of sin, Lord, have mercy. When you can't describe what's happening using the right words, Lord, have mercy. When you hear bad news and words just seem to fail you, Lord, have mercy. We stand before God as forgiven children of God, and we ask our Heavenly Father the things that our hearts ache over the most. We have a right relationship with God. We have confessed our sins and been absolved, but we still feel the effects of sin in this world. As we respond in dialogue, we recognize the countless number of ways that we need Jesus' mercy in our lives. We say, "In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen." As we have been made right with God, we pray that other parts of our lives may be made right as well, that we may experience the mercy that only our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ can give. In other forms of the divine service, we even go so far as to repeat ourselves over and over again, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We pray for Jesus' name, for Jesus' mercy. We then turn the page. Literally, in the divine service that we're celebrating today, we turn the page from the Kyrie to the Gloria in Excelsis. And we are reminded of all of the things that God has done for us. From pleading for the mercy of Christ to singing the hymn of praise. When we sing the hymn of praise, we sing it as it describes all of the wonderful things that God has done for each and every one of us. And we get to sing about where Christ is and now resides. When we sing the Gloria in Excelsis, glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest and peace to his people on earth. This phrase is reminiscent of the angel greeting as we hear in the Christmas account in Luke chapter 2. This was the reason Christ was born, born to make peace with the world, peace with us and to make us his own people. We give thanks for what God has done and what he will continue to do for us. We recognize where Jesus is sitting right now at the right hand of God the Father. We give praise to God for what Jesus did when he died on the cross and rose again for the forgiveness of sins of you and for me. We get to sing about how amazing and loving and powerful our Lord Jesus is. In the divine service, there are times where we have different options of what to sing for the hymn of praise. It is either the Gloria in Excelsis or the This is the Feast. When we sing This is the Feast, we are looking forward to the marriage feast of the Lamb. And we usually get to sing it as we anticipate celebrating the Lord's Supper later on in the service. When we get to celebrate the now and the not yet. When we will join with those voices that have gone before us and now are with Christ in heaven. We will look forward to that day when we get to sing and be at that feast. When we get to sing, this is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. In both cases, the Gloria in Excelsis and this is the feast, we are singing and proclaiming the victory. We see what victory looks like in this world. This past fall, the streets of Chicago were filled with people, packed with people, fans celebrating their Chicago Cubs. When the Chicago Cubs made it home, they were met with a parade to celebrate their World Series victory. Cubs fans continue to celebrate this victory. Who knows whether they'll win again next year or whether it will be a 100-plus year drought as it was before. And to answer the question I was asked last night, no, I am not a Cubs fan, but it was really convenient to use them as an example. In a couple weeks, it'll be the Packers, but we'll get there. But these victories that our sports teams have, they're only temporary. They don't last. But our victory, it does last. It lasts till eternity. Throughout the worship service, we are reminded of this. As baptized children of God, we remember our baptisms when the invocation is spoken. After confessing our sin is absolved when the pastor steps and stands in the place of Christ and says, "You are forgiven." In the Kyrie, we plead for Christ's mercy in this world when we say together, Lord, have mercy. We celebrate and rejoice in the victory that is won for us together when we sing the hymn of praise. Rejoicing not in a victory that will end, but an eternal victory. Where Christ won the victory over sin, death, and the power of the devil on the cross, and in his glorious resurrection for you and for me. Amen. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.